There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the unique peak.
And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am your host, John, as we do these 50 days of Dragon Con podcast things that happen in order from 50 down to 1 type stuff, words, stuff. And joining me as always is the lovely, the vivacious, the Carmen San Diego wearing trench coat person. Lee, how are you?
Oh, it's always nice to talk to the man who photo bombs every picture he's ever ran.
Well, no, okay, now hold on a second. Yes, I did sort of photobomb it, but I was supposed to be in the picture.
Oh, so, no, and then you photobombed the one we did at Voodoo Donuts.
Well, that's true.
But, and you were standing right beside me photobombing that one.
Yeah, but see, that's I don't think that's the definition of a photobomb. If the subject...
You made a weird face.
That's not making a weird face. That's being dumb. I mean, not photobombing. That's being dumb. Whatever. Anyway.
Oof.
Yeah, okay.
Goofy. Okay, well, I have to tell you that... all right, so getting off you and your photobombing ways. And I do have a red trench coat that is freaking awesome. Thank you very much. And I was very warm wearing it in the North. And I didn't have to have, like, huge sweater. So I did say I downloaded the Dragon Con app today for my Android. My husband has a Kindle Fire, and he downloaded it for his Kindle Fire, and they're looking very, very cool. So we really, really, really hope that people are going to be using them and going on and downloading them. Any of the data we just found out, we just got an email on the Dragon Con director's list, and I'm sure it's going to go out other ways, so I don't think I'm sharing any secrets I shouldn't. Right. All of the data that's on right now is kind of early stuff we put in for our panels and stuff, so it may not be exactly correct.
Right.
It wasn't supposed to see the light of day, but don't worry about it. It's no biggie. It's going to be updated before con. Don't worry about it. As we said, everything is tentative anyway.
So. My understanding is that according to that schedule, and so it's definitely permanent, is that you're doing a panel on Thursday. So,
that thing says I'm doing a panel on Thursday at 10 a.m. Let me explain. No, that would take too long. Let me just put this out. No, that you can tell that's not right.
And by the time you hear this, we're probably we're less than 2 weeks out at this point by the time you hear this particular podcast, but we are recording it 21 days out as of today. So even at let's say 14 is probably around where it is. This one's released. The schedule is still tentative, but it is closer, but still probably not until the directors are still, I mean, I've talked to pretty much all of them at this point, are still getting changes put in even 2 weeks out. So take everything with a grain of salt. But the update, yes, you are right. I did get the update because, you know, the other day we were talking, and I was like, I forget who it was I was mentioning. Oh, yeah, the maps are on there and everything. I'm like, I don't see maps. I don't get the... And then finally today, when I did the update, the maps did show up. And I was like, there we go. It was information. It was Sarah we were talking to. Sarah with information who was talking about how the maps will be on there, which is awesome. Any other news from Dragon Con right now?
I don't think there's any other news from Dragon Con right now. I mean, I think we are getting down to the wire on it, and people are starting to expect things. And my dog is being loud right now. Sorry about that. And people are starting to expect things and starting to getting into that anticipation mode. And one thing that I always hear a lot of people getting very excited about is the Dragon Con Film Fest. We are actually able to talk this year for the first time to Matthew, who is the director of the Film Fest. Hey, Matthew.
Hi.
Hey.
Matthew, now...
So I'm right on that. The director of the Film Fest, the man who puts it all together...
I am the director of the film festival. I am also the director of the film track.
Awesome. Great. Awesome. And now that's the independent film track, correct?
Yes. They both have the eyes stuck on the beginning of it so that people have a hard time finding it in the app that we mentioned earlier. Yes, it's independent film.
Ah, yes. So now, is there a non-independent film track?
No, there's not.
Okay, so it is the film track, no matter. It is the one that we care about, at least at Dragon Con. Of course, your mainstream films will likely be covered in any number of other tracks along the way. For example, Whedonverse will have the Avengers this year. Explain to me a little bit about what is the Independent Film Festival first, and then what is the Independent Film film track?
Well, it kind of merged all into one big mucky goodness, but the film festival is a film festival in the traditional sense, which is filmmakers submit their films, all sorts of films, but primarily shorts, because Dragon Con is 4 days, so
right.
Running 80 features would be kind of tricky. But primarily short films, and they'll submit them back from February, and then we have a committee that goes through them, and in the end we choose the very best, and we screen those at Dragon Con. We bring in the filmmakers to be there for Q&As about their films, and the films can be almost anything. We tend to have more genre films. There's a lot of horror, a lot of science fiction, a lot of fantasy, a lot of animation. But really, anything goes as long as it isn't two people sitting around in a bar talking about their problems and not doing anything about them. Unless one of them pulls out a gun and shoots the other.
Oh, which would be Greedo, because Greedo shot first, right? No, wait. I got that
That's
wrong.
Established.
Backwards.
Anyway, we actually, those of you who have been listening to the 50 Days of Dragon Con will note that we spoke with, a few weeks back, spoke with GB from, who's got a film out there at the film festival called Strange Frame. And we spoke with him, and he's very excited to be at Dragon Con. We discussed off air too about how this is probably really the right place for him to be. He did submit to the other convention that's out there in California, and was not accepted out there. But then again, the point of that they said that, oh, well, you have to be family friendly and you have to fit all these different kind of criteria out there. Dragon Con's a little more loose, as I understand, on the requirements, because correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. It's more if the film is good, that's what you want to see, and Dragon Con experiments more. I mean, they do a lot more non-mainstream things. So
our only requirement for rating goes to if it's good. If I find it's particularly harsh, something that is not so good for kids, we will tend to be screening that later at night. But what we look for is good things, not ratings or family-friendly. If it's family-friendly and good, great. If it isn't, that's great, too. Now, actually, the movie you're talking about, that's full title Strange Frame Love and Sex. I wouldn't say that that's particularly non-family-ish, except perhaps in the description, as it's an animated sci-fi lesbian musical.
Right. Yes.
But kids would be fine for that.
I'm awake. I'm awake now. I'm good. Yeah. I'm all right.
Oh, and that was an incredible cast.
I know it will. I hadn't listened to that one yet, John.
No. You're fine. Actually. Do you have any of the names off the top of your head of that are the voice actors in there? I know several of them.
Michael Dornan is in that.
Oh my God.
Let's see.
Tim Curry.
To go through. George Takei is in that.
Yes. Tim Curry.
Claudia Christian. Tim Curry. Yes.
Yeah. Juliet Landau.
Juliet Landau.
Mm-hmm.
In that, that's pretty cool.
There's several more. I mean, he has a very amazing cast. He's a interesting cat. When we spoke with him, I do encourage people to go back and listen to that.
I'm going to now.
Yeah. He's very interesting. He lives out in Hawaii. We spend a lot more time talking about Hawaii because I'm jealous than about the film. But yeah. So what other films do you have? Feature films do you have this year?
Well, I was gonna for a second just point out that when I show Strange Frame, showing with it, I'm going to have a short film called Dr. Glamour, which is a rock and roll, steampunk, bisexual, Lovecraftian musical. So that combination will go really well.
Nice. So you did say, just so I'm clear, a bisexual Lovecraftian steampunk.
Rock and roll steampunk musical.
Awesome. And
dear God, I love DragonCon.
We have a surprising number of features. Normally, I like to hold it down to maybe 4 features in a year just because that's what we can fit in easily. But this year, for some reason, it just blew up. So besides our animated Strange Frames, we've got a Japanese film called Replay Girls, which is, I think, Japanese schoolgirls with samurai swords and guns. We've got I think our people will like it. We've got a couple horror films, Nail Biters, A Zombie Invasion. We've got a film just about fan film with a documentary called Backyard Blockbusters, which is what we're actually going to be starting DragonCon with. And also a documentary called Zero Killed, which is for, if you're feeling thoughtful, it examines people's fantasies of murdering other people. And a filmmaker actually let people film their own fantasies. It's a very interesting look at what people are like. But then to go the complete opposite direction, one of our big events for the year is going to be the premiere of Rock Jocks, a science fiction comedy starring Felisa Day.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
People might have heard of her in our world.
She will be there for it, along with writers and directors and producers. We're doing a whole big premiere for it, so I'm very excited about that. It also stars Robert Picardo, and our own Trek Track director has a cameo in it.
Oh, really?
So Garrett Lang.
Lang, yes. Yes, yes. Sweet. That sounds awesome. Now, as far as what do you do in the actual fan track, if you will? What do you is that where you hold all the Q&As? Or?
Well, what we have, when I think of it, divide up our film festival and track into 3 parts, which I call the film lovers, filmmakers, and film geeks. And the film lovers is when all the screenings that we have. The filmmakers section is in a separate room. That's going to be over in Embassy City. And that's where someone can come in and for 4 days basically get a college course on how to be a filmmaker.
Oh.
You can learn just about anything that you want. We bring in qualified people, all areas of filmmaking, and then we'll have a panel on directing, one on producing, one on writing, one on editing, one on cinematography. We're bringing a lawyer who will discuss all the legal things you need to know to make a film. And then we're actually going to have a 3-part panel in which we start from ground zero and we'll shoot a very, very short film with the audience participation so that they can actually see how you make a film from beginning to end. That's our secondary room just for the filmmakers, and still that goes from morning up through late afternoon, and then we come back again in the evening and have that. So there's a full slate of classes basically on how to be a filmmaker if that's what you're looking for. And it's better than to college for. We have the people who actually do it. They're in front of you discussing, taking questions, pretty much covering everything from the artistic aspect to the technical. So there's that direction. As I said, we have the film lovers section where we're screening all these films. Then we have our little bit of film geek section where we're going to, that's your closer to fan area. As we geek out and discuss, we're going to have a panel just on cult films. We're going to have a panel talking about the latest genre blockbusters, one covering the short films the last 20 years, and one about fan films. And we are going to have a television critic involved with that, but as we know, our schedules are not yet definite.
No, not yet. No.
So I'll leave off names at the moment because we haven't been okay for that yet. But I was listening to everything you were saying on the app earlier. Like, disaster.
Well, I mean,
not done yet.
So yeah, again, people, just relax. It'll all shake out. Everything will be under control by the time you get there. Actually, no, it'll still be chaos by the time you get there. But it'll be a controlled chaos. So that's really what it boils down to. What was I going to mention? So. How many? I don't think we got an actual number. How many and how long? How many films? How long? Does the? What are your hours? I guess is what I'm trying to get to. Those are the words I'm trying to make come out of my mouth.
For screenings, we start at 10 in the morning, and with but a few stops for Q&A in there and panels by those filmmakers. We continue until 3 a.m.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
All day long. And what's fun is, for the most part, this is stuff that you simply don't have an opportunity to see anywhere else.
Right.
A couple of the features, I suspect Rock Trucks will pop up in places. A lot of the stuff, this is kind of your chance to see it. And we have just some amazing stuff coming in. If you know Heather Henson, daughter of Jim Henson, her production company works on puppet movies, and we're going to be showing four different films from her production company while we're there. So if you like Henson puppet movies, these are fantastic. And things, again, that you have not seen otherwise. We've got a latest film from Roddenberry people.
It's
Rod Roddenberry, son of Gene. And
yes.
It's a science fiction movie. It's scary and twisted and very, very interesting. And if you want to see it, pretty much, you got to come here and see it. We're screening approximately 80 movies in the course of the 4 days.
Oh, wow. That's...
80 movies.
Yeah, now some of those...
amazing. No, I know. Some of them are short. I know they're... But that's a lot.
It is a lot. But again, we have some movies that are a minute long. We got three movies that are a minute. We've got quite a few 5-minute films, an 8-minute film. So those help a little bit. But then we've also got a 40-minute Star Wars movie, which is just incredible.
Besides you or your staff, have you had anybody that actually sits through every last one of them?
I don't think we usually have someone who sits and never moves. We've come pretty close. We have some regulars, some people who will come in early on and scout out a seat and will stay there a majority of the time, particularly because the Learning Center, which is where we screen everything, is such a nice room. We've got comfy chairs and tables in front of everyone. So people will come in with their lunches and they'll just stay there for the next 4 hours until they have to go find something else to eat.
How many people can you fit in the screening rooms?
That is kind of our one unfortunate thing, which is film screened in the Learning Center. It's a beautiful place to screen movies, but we can only fit in around 100 people.
Oh, wow. What do you ever fill up to the point where, you know, you have to reshow a film? Or?
We fill up almost every time. I haven't been rescreening very many films, except on Monday when we have a audience choice screening. We just mean what the audience actually asks for, and we'll have everything set up in our computer system so that we just have them yell what they want and pop it right up. But outside of that, we tend not to repeat because of those people who are always there. Get kind of disappointed then. We're almost always there. We do have a few things in other rooms, in ballrooms, but not often because the Learning Center is such a better environment if you're really trying to get into a film.
Okay.
Be a lot louder and not quite as nice picture and sound in there.
Where is it? Where is the Learning Center?
It's in the Hyatt.
The same level as the Avanzara used to be, so the Regency Ballrooms.
Yes. It's on the Regency and Centennial Ballrooms. We're just across from the Centennial.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's near the potty.
Near the bathroom.
It's on the corner near the potty, near the elevators.
Near the elevators that you can never get on.
Yeah.
Well, so wait, that limits it down to every elevator at Dragon Con. So,
the Marriott's not that bad.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. You keep telling yourself that.
We have escalators, though, so you just come down the escalator and there you are.
Okay, sweet. So let me ask you, how did you get involved in Dragon Con to start with?
Well, to start with was long ago and far away. My wife and I were Midwestern kids. And one day I was looking out on this new internet thing and saw that Ray Bradbury was going to be speaking at some place called Dragon Con, which I never heard of, but I love Ray Bradbury. So we decided to take a trip down to Georgia to see this Bradbury fellow. And it was the same year as Ray Harryhausen and Harlan Ellison were all together. And we were pretty big literary fan fiction people. So we came, we loved it. We kept coming back, decided we needed to get involved. And actually, both my wife and I first got involved through the Daily Dragon, which for those of you who don't know my lovely wife, she is still the director of it.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yes.
I'm the underachiever of the family because that's my Nebula Award-winning writer, science fiction, fantasy writing wife. And she runs the Daily Dragon. So for when you're looking for all that information on things, like on the app, Daily Dragon is a place to go to. We got involved with that at first, and my area was always been film. So I started to get involved in film here and beefing up what we had done with film, and I got on that put me on to run the track part, and following year I became the festival director. I've been doing that now for 6 years-ish.
Oh, nice. Like that.
6-7 years.
Sweet. Now so your wife decided to be the one who actually does the work, and you sit around and watch movies all day long, pictures. Is that how that works out?
And she edits for the state and wins Nebula Awards and writes books and sells stories to all kinds of magazines and such. So, yeah, I'm going to say I eat bonbons.
You eat bonbons. Nice. Lee's saying she can't hear anything. Lee, can you hear me now? And how would you reply if you could? You can't. She can't hear anything.
I can't hear her either. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I don't hear her either, so whatever. It's Lee, which is, surprising when you can't hear her.
for that later, I won't.
You'll stay as far away from it as possible, and that's probably the best idea. So let me ask you, if you could have three guests, living or dead, and if Lee would tell you, they would be here alive, not as zombies, who would they be for Dragon Con or for your track? What are some three people that you would love to see at Dragon Con?
Living or dead?
Yes.
I'd have to go with filmmakers because that's the way that's my area. And I would love to have Ridley Scott sitting there for a question and answer session.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
We discuss Blade Runner and Prometheus, and
so both ends of his.
Why he made a Gladiator, yes. Like that.
You could ask him. So you've had some great films, and you've had some films that we really wish you wouldn't have made. What is never mind.
What? Why do you like Russell Crowe's face in close up so much? When you've also made Alien, I'm confused. But Ridley Scott, I would love to have. I think I'd have to go with a zombie Michael Curtiz. For those who don't know, Michael Curtiz is actually my favorite director. He directed little things like Casablanca.
Directed what?
Casablanca.
Casablanca? Oh, yeah, okay, whatever.
Matthew, you have to understand, and I know I sound very funny now if anybody's listening, like, why is Lee sounding like she's in a tunnel? But the headphones I just had in my head went totally and completely dead. So I'm now just doing this through the mic on my laptop. So I apologize for how funny I sound. But Matthew, John is a bit of a Philistine and does not like Casablanca.
Yeah,
I've heard people like that, but we try to ignore them. And I fear in the end, still in their ways. By the way, if you didn't know, as the guy who brought the film festival and I did film critique, I'm not allowed to be kind of wishy-washy. Opinionated is the way to go.
Yeah.
You know, the Casablanca was okay for a film that you know, whatever.
See? This is what I put up with sometimes.
It's all right. You can be wrong sometimes.
But I also did like the first Hulk movie, so, you know, there is that.
You can be wrong twice. Boy, that was
also
bad.
John, did you like Citizen Kane?
It was okay, if not predictable.
Michael Curtiz will go on to things like The Adventures of Robin Hood and What Christmas, and pretty much great films of the 40s. So,
who would actually be a good guest that you would get for the third one? Oh, I'm just kidding, just joking. Who would be the third guest that you would have?
Well, as long as we're going with zombies, how about a zombie Hitchcock?
Oh, by the way, he is bringing back zombies, Lee. He wants his dead folks to be zombies.
Oh, he does really want zombies?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Lee. Yeah. Hitchcock, yeah. Oh, Hitchcock would be awesome. Oh.
Since he just took over in the voting that Vertigo has now been the best film of all time over Citizen Kane, I'd certainly like to discuss that with him.
Oh. I found that an interesting poll, that Vertigo, I mean, and I love Vertigo, but I was kind of like, really?
Yeah, as I pointed out at the time, I love Vertigo too, but it's not my favorite Hitchcock.
It's not my favorite.
Right, I would agree with you you're right, it's not even the best Hitchcock, how is it the best film of all
Exactly,
time?
But then I wouldn't have put Citizen Kane as the best film, but... Yeah.
What would
I don't even know it. We'll just ignore you.
It's the best film of all time is Spaceballs, I believe. That would be the best. No, just joking.
We'll hope that's true.
So there's three times that I could be wrong.
Maybe three. Or four. Matthew, I'm having a hard time hearing, so I'm leaning down very close to my little laptop here. But I'm doing yoga poses. It's probably good for my spine. What would you have put as the best film for you?
The best film of all time?
Yeah.
I would have to put it as a tie between two I've mentioned the last few minutes, which is Casablanca and Blade Runner.
Oh, wow. Blade Runner, really?
Both films that make you really think about life, what it means to be alive, what it means to do something. And plus, just beautifully filmed in both cases. Beautifully filmed, beautifully acted.
Yeah. I would definitely agree with you with Blade Runner. I mean, I don't know if I'd necessarily make it the best film. That's the beauty of. And do you do a lot of that? Do you do a lot of that debating in your tracks?
A great deal. In fact, that's what we're having genre blockbusters panel this year. That will be that, and we're also having a panel where we're discussing the best short films of the last 20 years. So we're gonna, I assume, kind of be biting at each other. That one is show a couple of them, and then we'll argue on really what films have made it and which ones have been horrible. But yes, there's plenty of geeking and arguing about films over at the track. It's one of my favorite things.
Sweet. So, what was it? What was the other question I was going to ask? Oh, are there any other specific panels that you're really excited about this year that are in the panel part of your program that you think people should really highlight and get out to see? I mean, besides all of them, obviously.
For people who are filmmakers, the legal one, I think, is really, really a big hit. That we've actually got a lawyer coming in to tell you the 10 things that you need to know about filmmaking. To me, it's just going to be a marvelous time. So I think that's kind of a must see. For film fans, I think we're going to have a lot of fun with the cult film panel.
Okay.
And the genre film, the genre blockbuster panel is going to be a lot of fun. That's where people are going to get to yell and toss. And ideas and such. And
Okay.
Those are always fun panels where people yell.
But primarily, again, sometimes. Always my first interest here is the films themselves, because we have so many and so many interesting things that no one's seen. And, you know, Amber Benson got a film with her in it. And amusingly, the director had no idea that she was going to be at DragonCon this year, which is just good timing. Got films with Malcolm McDowell in it, Elijah Wood.
Oh, really?
Christopher Lloyd. So fantasy and science fiction and twisted things that you really can't talk about even on a video will be screening, and happy, light comedies and dark, cruel horror films. Werewolves and Girls Dormitories.
Werewolves and what?
Werewolves and Girls Dormitories. One of our films is called Werewolf in a Girls Dormitory.
Oh.
Which is a lot of fun. Horror comedy in that case.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I would hope so. There's not really actual werewolves in girls. Anyway, I don't know. Lee is gone now again.
Okay. She doesn't seem to be talking in and out.
Yeah, she's actually disappeared completely off the screen. Cool. Well, actually, let's go ahead and here it is. Hold on. Da, 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 da. Hey, Lee.
Hi, I'm back.
Ah, there we are. Oh,
because my laptop echo was killing me and John and everybody else. So, I'm back. Hi.
She sounded much better than even before. So that's.
What was that?
Never mind. Don't worry about it.
I'll find out later.
There was a short in the line, and by that I mean that you're on the other end of the line.
Keep it up. Laugh it up, fuzzball. Okay, so.
Did you have a question for Matthew? He's on the phone. Caller.
I know Matthew is on the phone. And I don't know if this has been asked, because as I said, I'm having technical difficulties and I'm about to throw my laptop across the room. But is there anything you're looking forward to seeing at DragonCon outside of what you do all the time, even though you don't have, you know, more than 5 seconds maybe to run into a room and see something?
Kind of a funny question. I have not seen anything in other tracks that I was not actually on a panel for in years. I don't get up.
Yeah.
I will leave the room for a meal in a day, and that's about it. So I'm looking forward to our Thursday night when we get together and have dinner with a bunch of the filmmakers, and I'm looking forward to the meet up in the bar at the end when
we're seeing everybody there. Yeah.
But in between, I will only see stuff in my own track. In fact, the only times I've left in the last few years was when other tracks put me on film panels.
Okay.
Now, do you spend most of your time in the actual track room or in the screening room?
I spend most of my time running around.
Oh, okay.
I'll go up and introduce films.
Oh, okay.
I'll do some introductions beforehand, then I'll go put out flyers, I'll come back and moderate a Q&A on films, and off I dash again. I am on a couple panels. I am on some of the geeking and some criticism panels. But otherwise, I'm running around. I'm hard to find.
Mm-hmm. Where can people find out more information on the DragonCon Film Festival as well as the your track?
Well, that's a very good question. Our website is filmfest.dragoncon.org, which pretty much will tell you everything you need to know about all of it. But we also have a Facebook page, which you can get to from there, and Twitter. And we even have a live journal. And, of course, information always going up through the Daily Dragon, again, run by my lovely wife, Yuji.
Ah, nice. As always, folks, you can find links to those sites, if you missed them there, over at theuniquegeek.com. We'll have direct links to those sites. Did you say you had a Twitter account or no?
Yeah, we have a Twitter.
Okay.
Twitter, Facebook, Live Journal, and the main site.
That was okay. Yeah, the Dragon Con. Okay, cool. All right. Well, Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking time out, and also putting on a festival. So, do you guys serve popcorn at your? Where do you stand with popcorn?
It would be nice. Now people can bring popcorn.
Oh, okay. So
they can bring in popcorn, beer. We got tables, so they can actually bring one.
All right, so okay, yeah. So you did mention that
and
earlier.
Comfy
do
chairs.
Do bring
they have comfy
very
chairs.
Sweet,
very comfy chairs.
We it's kind of the secret. They have the really comfy chairs.
It's a nice place to sit, and it's good because people are there for hours and hours. So it's great that it is the one place around Dragon that you can be comfortable sitting in one place for hours.
Right, and because you're running programming pretty much, just short of 24 hours a day. If folks are in between panels or don't have anything that they, in particular they want to see, right away, pop in there and, watch some, great independently, produced films.
Exactly.
So, and, bring a snack and enjoy and then, get to see something that you normally don't see at, some other conventions that are way more corporate in, taking money from the man type thing that they do.
That's exactly right.
They avoid taking money from the man.
Well, they're making money for the man is actually what they're doing. But anyway, taking money from the 99%. Yeah, that's what it is. Let's get all political now. too late.
You're not doing well at that.
I am not. Let's stop now.
I love you, but you're not. Yeah,
I know.
Stop.
Let's stop.
And Matthew, and to Matthew and all of our listeners, I apologize for all the little problems I have. So I do apologize. I'm sorry.
Well, this will be honored at the podcast with the interesting voices from Lee.
Yes. Although you've heard those before at many a meeting, Matthew. So.
And
okay.
This time the voices weren't just in her head. All right, until next time, this is John for Lee and Matthew saying peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.